It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson. Nerd Up!
Welcome to another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. I'm Guilty Wilson, along with...
Tim Coker.
Tim Mattson.
Isaac Wilson.
Eric Gubelman.
And Eric Gubelman. Yes, you heard right. Eric Gubelman is the... Well, wait a minute. You're the owner of the Eagle Theater. Is that right? Is that fair to say?
My wife and I are.
Yeah, okay.
97.7%.
You're the one that basically treats us small-town guys here in Robinson to a great big-city experience theater. And we brought Eric on to the podcast today. Basically, this podcast is going to be talking about movies for 2016. Superhero movies, because, you know, that's what we talk about here on the Nerd Up Podcast.
I wondered what we did.
Sometimes I do, too. But we're going to talk about mainly the movies for this year. And one of the things, we were talking about this before we started recording, is that, you know, while us nerdy, geeky guys are going to say, hey, this is going to be... you know, a really great experience. This is going to be better than Star Wars. This is going to be whatever we say. Eric's going to bring us back down to earth talking about the realities of Hollywood. And, you know, also, I think you got a little bit of a nerdy, geeky side you may add in too, Eric. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I can tell you that nothing's going to get better than Star Wars. $907 million at the domestic market. It's the number one movie of all time. Eagle Theater. It might do better than Star Wars is the next one.
That's right.
Yeah, which we're going to be talking about. Now, when you say the next one, do you mean the next one in the series or the next one on Side Story?
The next one in the series.
Yeah. I have a feeling about that. Yeah, the Side Story. Well, we'll get to that. In fact, let's talk right away. The first one, it's being released. About the time we release the podcast, it'll be in theaters. It's Deadpool. And a big flack about this one was that it was rated R. People complaining it's a comic book movie, rated R. I can't take my kids, all these whiners. But if your kid ever read Deadpool comic, they would understand why it's rated R. If you let your kid read Deadpool comics and they can't get in to see it, you really shouldn't let your kid read Deadpool comics because they're a little graphic. Well, I'm going to throw this around the table here, so to speak. I can tell you, I've been looking forward to it because I wanted to see it done right after they messed it up in Wolverine, the Origins. And then Ryan Reynolds, I thought, well, he would have been great if they'd have let him do it right. And so now he's kind of run with it along with the director, and they've created something, at least through the marketing-wise, it looks like they're doing it right. Looks like they're doing it, staying true to the comic itself. Isaac and I are big, huge Deadpool fans. We got Deadpool everywhere. One of the things I look most forward to is seeing Blind Owl. Because in the comics, he picked on her so much. And I want to see if he actually does it in the movie. Isaac, what do you look most forward to in Deadpool?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I'm just hoping that I can get more out of the Deadpool movie than I did out of the game. And the game gave me a lot, so...
Yeah, unfortunately, Isaac's education on the Deadpool game. It was a sad chapter in our lives.
Not very good.
What are you talking about? It was great.
It's a great one. But, the thing was, Isaac learned a few extra curse words that he never heard before.
Oh.
Deadpool not only gets money, he stole my innocence.
He stole your innocence. There we go.
Aw.
Yeah, one of the things we love is and I know Isaac loves this, the breaking the fourth wall that Deadpool comics do. And if they keep it up in the movie, great. And here's the thing. Stan Lee is already he's listed on IMDb as making an appearance. You know, he's going to do his cameo. I'm hoping he's making his cameo as Stan Lee. That would be so cool.
That would be so meta.
I know, right? And that's perfect.
Total sense, too.
Yeah, exactly. And it would be, you're Stan Lee. Hey, you're making a cameo. Something like that would be awesome. But anyway, so I don't know. It's Deadpool is just a huge, fun comic book. It's one of those comic books that, again, not meant for children, but it throws, you got the superhero stuff going on, but at the same time, you've got some humor going on that makes you want to read the next issue. Not just, you know, oh my gosh, he's hanging from a limb off the cliff, you know. You want to read it because it's some good substance to it.
And a pretty dark backstory.
And you're very dark. But anyway, so that's what we're looking forward to is the fun. And I'm trying to think, do you guys know who, off the top of your head, anybody know who's playing Blind Owl? It's a big, huge actress. I've lost her.
I don't know.
Oh, Leslie Uggams. Sorry.
There you go. Leslie Uggams.
There we are.
Leslie Uggams, that's awesome.
I know, right? That was my response when I saw that. I was like, what? So there, they got some good casting going on and everything. All right, so let's go with Tim Coker. What do you think about the movie? Are you looking forward to it? What are you looking forward to?
Well, okay, guardedly. And I'll say it because, like, A, I'm not really a Deadpool guy. It's not that I have anything against him. He came up after I'd kind of gotten out of Marvel. So I never quite delved into his stuff. I think, like, I know him mainly from the trailers, but mainly from, like, you know, one-page gag comics that are on, like, Tumblr or something, you know, or seeing people in the costumes at conventions. So,
right.
You know, I hope it's a funny movie. I think that the time is really ripe for a quality R-rated deconstruction of superhero movies. I think that the superhero genre is so well known now, and people have taken so much of it to heart that a really good R-rated breakdown of that, I think, could be awesome. And I don't know if this movie is that movie, but I hope it is. That's what my hope for it would be.
I don't think it's going to be smart or sharp enough to do that, to be honest. Yeah,
such is life.
Yeah, I'll disagree with that. Look, this movie reminds me a little bit of the first Iron Man, in the sense that the critical reviews are right on track to what was said about the first Iron Man. Iron Man had a 94% rating from RottenTomatoes.com. And Deadpool hasn't opened yet. It's got an 82% rating. 62% fresh. 62 critics said fresh. 14% said rotten. And the critical consensus is fast, funny, and gleefully profane. So you guys are focused on the R-rated side of it. I'd have been a lot more worried about the R rating 10 years ago. But it seems like, at least our experience in the local theater, is the R rating relaxed quite a bit. You know, you can take your kid to it. You just got to be there.
Right.
You just can't send them in there by themselves. And I think that it's irreverent enough that there's a lot of parents that will do that. I think we'll see a lot of 10-year-olds with their hip parents.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't be surprised.
But I wouldn't exactly call that a bad or a good idea.
Yeah,
I don't think there's really much that they haven't seen before, to be honest. I mean, if they know right. who Deadpool is, they're going to have seen most of the stuff that they're going to see in this film.
Yeah,
true.
It's not going to be like Alvin and the Chipmunks in terms of there, but I think it will. Yeah. I think it will hit above its weight for an R-rated movie.
Yeah. I'd be willing to bet you see a lot of crossover between those two audiences, though. To be honest,
what do you mean by that? Crossover between?
I mean, you see that. I'll bet you'll see a lot of the same people at Alvin and the Chipmunks and are going to be in Deadpool.
Oh.
It's going to be a bunch of younger. It's going to be a younger audience, I think.
I don't think it's going to be 5-year-olds though.
No. That's true, but I mean, I think people are making a lot more out of this R rating than really needs to be made, because nobody's going to look at nobody looks at ratings.
Right.
I mean, they really don't. I worked retail for 8 years. Guarantee you, not a single parent ever has looked at a rating on a video game before buying it for their kid. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And the same thing's going to happen to this. They're going to see some superhero dude in a unitard that's red and black, and we'll take him to see that. It's a superhero movie. They're not going to even notice that it's rated R.
Yeah, especially, and you know what, and the thing is, kind of veering on the aspect that, you know, we've got these movies in our homes now for years and years through cable and stuff like that, and rentals and everything else. I think you're right. The R rating has kind of softened up. Eric, you said something about that, and it's more acceptable. I think R is now the what PG was back in the day. Because I know whenever...
Or PG-13.
Yeah. Well, I know back in the 70s, when I went to go see a PG movie, my mom would be like, what's it about? What's about? You know, what are they going to do? You know, I'm like, I don't know. I haven't seen it yet.
when you were doing that in the 70s, they were called M, mature audiences.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That's G-Rex. Right.
And you, well, that's... GMR. I just think that people have... our... I don't want to say our standards have slipped. I mean, our... problem with R-rated movies has kind of like gone away. People don't really care that much that it's rated R.
Yeah. Well, where we run into problems is we're pretty strict about enforcing that. And so we'll get somebody who's 17 bringing their 16-year-old friend and say, no, you got to come with a parent. So every R-rated movie, particularly one that's aimed at a younger demographic, we will end up irritating a handful of people who will buy tickets to another movie and then try to sneak over to the R-rated movie.
Right.
Just part of the game.
Now, then the thing is, you know, that just kind of makes it that much more tempting for them to try, and eventually maybe they'll drag their parents along. I think, okay, looking away from the R rating of this movie, I think one of the big, I don't know, I haven't heard it yet, but I think the F-bomb will be there a few times, but I think more along the lines, it's the violence in this,
right,
that makes this really the more different from any other superhero movie, because Well, I mean, we've talked about the bad parts of Superman movie where, you know, people die, but you know, it's like, it's not like their head gets chopped off and he picks it up in his hand and puts it in the microwave, which happens in a Deadpool comic. You know, it's
right.
People die en masse. So it's a little more gruesome type of a violence. Now, if they carry that over in the movie, which I have a feeling they'll do a few scenes like that, then it'll be interesting. But playing along that, say, okay, that's in the past. I mean, that's in the background. Let's talk about the humor of Deadpool. One of the things he does is break the fourth wall constantly. Mm-hmm. I see them doing that on the trailers. I'm hoping that they do that, but how far would you be able to take that watching the movie? Any of you guys? Watching that is like, okay, that's enough. We know you're talking to us. How much would you put up with?
Very little, I think. I mean, I think they've got to do it pretty lightly. Because if you lean on that crutch too hard, it's, I don't know.
Yeah,
you spend too much time on that and less time on the plot of what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, it really comes down to the quality of the writing. And if the writers are, you know, able to do some kind of crazy postmodern masterpiece, hey, you know, Charlie Kaufman makes a superhero movie, all right, you know. But
wouldn't you like to see that?
Right? I'd pay cash money for that.
I would pay cash money.
Okay, now that I said it, it's going to happen. I don't know. I think that these writers, maybe they're not going to be aiming that high. We'll see. But if it's a gag that they just beat into the ground, it'll be too bad.
At least there's not a committee of writers listed. There's only two screenwriters listed. The part that gives me pause is the director's never directed a feature film before. This is his first feature film. After directing two shorts. So there's a big question mark for me right there.
No kidding.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Well, the other reviews are pretty positive. If we see an 83% rating for something with either niche or broad appeal, it's a good sign. Now, an 83% rating for an independent film doesn't mean squat, but an 83% rating for a wide release aimed at a broad demographic, I think it's going to be a good weekend at the box office.
Okay. Yeah, so
awesome.
So what do you think, what are you looking at for a box office locally and nationally for this?
I'm thinking $3,000, which would be, you know, that's not Star Wars territory, it's like $14,000 or $15,000. So, you know, it's not going to be that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the project box office is. Let me think about that. Might weigh in on that.
Well, any idea what nationally you think, maybe?
I don't think it's going to do 100. I think it'll do upwards of 50.
I'd read somewhere, I can't remember where, they said that this one could be the first, being the first, I think you said it, Tim Coker, deconstruction of a superhero movie. I like that description. Yeah, I think this is going to be the first that type of a superhero movie that's going to break 100. We'll see. I mean,
you think?
That's just something I read. I have no idea. I have no idea what it's going to do, but I'm hoping it does great because I want to see more. There's already a Deadpool 2 slated. They've already okayed it. They've already greenlit it.
Well, they did that for Fantastic Four 2 as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That was wishful thinking right there. Jesus.
Stop, you're giving me PTSD.
Let's not forget, this is not Marvel. This is Fox.
Yeah, true.
So
right.
We could have a big miss rather than a big hit on our hands.
Yeah.
But right. I don't know. I'm kind of cautiously optimistic. I think if there's good word of mouth, I'd be willing to bet this does over 100 million if there's good word of mouth.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I can see that.
Well, we'll rejoin this next week. We'll find out, at least for the opening weekend. All right. Well, let's move on to another one because there's a whole bunch of them this year. We'll move on to the next huge movie release.
Yeah, huge.
The Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. All right. First of all, Ben Affleck Batman. That caught a lot of flack. No big deal. Everybody that plays Batman catches a lot of flack.
Don't you mean it caught a lot of Affleck?
No. Anyway.
Thank you, Isaac. I was doing that in my head.
but basically, you know, everybody that plays Batman has always got... I mean, when George Clooney, they said, what? George Clooney? What? And then, Michael Keaton. He's Mr. Mom. He can't do Batman. So again, everybody that's played Batman has always been. But Superman... Well, we've seen this actor as Superman before. We didn't like it here on the podcast. but
to be fair, I don't think it's because of him.
Right, right, absolutely right.
I don't think he's bad. I don't think he's bad.
Yeah.
He's all right.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, good, fair point. But this one also, not only is it bringing those two together, but it's also the beginning of the Justice League. And, I mean, we, in the trailers, we've seen Wonder Woman, Aquaman. So, again, this is a huge thing for DC Comics, you know, movie universe. I will tell you, I'm going to go see it. I've never been a huge DC fan, but I love superhero movies, and I'm going to definitely go see it. The other aspect of it is, how dark are they going to make it? Again, that's the one thing. You look at the Marvel universe, and they're not dark. They're comic book movies. And, you know, we've talked about it over and over again on the podcast. I try not to beat that dead horse, but it's going to be dark. All right, so...
Give it a few kicks. Come on.
it's neighing still, I guess. But anyway, I don't know. I'm going to go see it. I got hopes for it. I really hope they start to bring it together and they see what Marvel has done with the humor. Well, look, I mean, another one we're going to talk about later
come
on.
Come on, Gil. Come on.
With Suicide.
Do you really, really think they've learned anything?
I'm hoping. I have that hope.
Dude, have you seen anything about this? Have you looked at any of the footage from this?
Yeah.
They've learned nothing.
Yes,
they've
I've
learned
seen it.
Absolutely nothing.
Well, maybe.
The only thing they've learned is maybe we should make our trailers more like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well, that, here's the other thing. Maybe they just put a sepia tone on the lens for the trailers only. You know,
wouldn't that be a surprise?
It would be. So anyway, all right. Well, let's go ahead and do this. Okay, so I will go see it definitely, and I mean, we all know that we're all going to go see it regardless.
No, nope.
They're going.
No,
seriously.
Oh,
no, I'm not going to go see it.
Really? Okay.
All right.
The only way you're going to get me in the theater is if I hear that this is surprisingly awesome.
All right. Let's see. Let's first this time Tim Coker. Let's go with you. What do you think? What are you going to do?
Well, you know, I'm kind of a fanatic for Superman movies, so I kind of have to go. But that said, I was not a fan of Man of Steel, and I don't really have a lot of faith that it's going to be good. I would be surprised if they didn't interject some humor into it in the wake of Guardians of the Galaxy and try to correct the course a little bit, but. I don't know. I mean, what I'm hoping is for the same thing that happened to me when I saw The Force Awakens, which was to come out of it and be like, oh, my God, that wasn't terrible, which I honestly still can't believe about The Force Awakens, you know. So with this movie, if it isn't terrible, honestly, that's a huge win for me. So my expectations are very low.
Yeah, I guess mine, too. So, all right, well, we know Tim Mattson, but I'll get to you in a second. Isaac, Batman v Superman.
I don't know. I kind of want to see Wonder Woman in it, but only because recently we just finished Injustice.
Oh, yeah, and, with a video game.
Yeah, and after like playing in, as Wonder Woman, seeing her story and whatnot, like I already understood a majority of her story, but right. Like seeing the way she fought in Injustice, that's pretty rad. I thought she was just like only cleavage as her marketing.
Plus, we also should note that Isaac is a teenager with hormones running wild, and yeah, I remember Wonder Woman when I was that age.
That's
Linda
you know,
Carter.
Yeah,
yes,
no.
Linda Carter.
I don't have to have the that age disclaimer. I'm
so, but yeah. So it took a video game to get you to want to go see it, or did you want to go see it?
Well,
before?
I kind of wanted to see it also because Batman's armor looks pretty rad.
Okay,
all right. Glowing eyes,
and this is the Frank Miller armor too. So. That makes it interesting. All right, so Tim Mattson, let's hear it.
Oh, boy. I don't know where to begin with this. I have no desire to go see this. They've made their films so not fun to watch that they're just real downers, and I don't want to go see it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, they really,
it's a good illustration of why you guys are geeks. and not at all tethered to the real world, because Deadpool is going to do $60 million at best,
mm-hmm.
and Batman versus Superman is going to do 120 or more on the opening weekend. And it's going to do 120 or more because it's Batman and Superman.
Now, absolutely,
it's going to be impervious to critical reviews for the first weekend. That word of mouth will take over.
Yeah,
but I'm just putting my flag in the stand here. Deadpool $60 million. And this one's going to do upwards 115, 120, something like that. So you can make fun of me on the weekend.
No, you're right.
So remember that?
Absolutely.
Remember that guy who missed it totally.
Eric,
this movie's
going to
be a license
I am 100%,
to print
money. I'm 100% in your camp. Batman v Superman is going to kill Deadpool. It's going to absolutely trounce it at the box office. But I guarantee you Deadpool is going to be much more fun to watch.
Yeah, we're just talking about like what
you have
we
a different
like.
Understanding of fun. If you own a movie theater, the ones fun to watch are the ones that sell the most popcorn. What is up on the screen is somewhat secondary. Not kind of, I like good movies, but I have watched so much Drek in the last 12 months that I have learned to put that aside. Yeah. I have watched some really bad movies and thought, you know what? Kids are buying popcorn at this movie. It's a great movie.
Good point. See, that's why I got you here for your point of view on this. That's exactly.
Good point.
Well,
that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and I have no doubts Batman v Superman will be it'll be huge that opening weekend. I guarantee it's going to be huge.
It'll be massive.
Yeah, I mean look at last time when the Man of Steel movie came out, we didn't like it because we try to nitpick everything anyway. I mean, Eric,
you don't have to nitpick very much to not like that.
But Eric, you should hear one of our talks about the Star Trek movies. But anyway,
oh, that's just me.
You mean the action adventure series formerly known as Star Trek?
Hey,
yeah, I get it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's it.
That was our point of view, pretty much.
Terrible.
But I will tell you, and I looked at it as a member from your audience, saying, "Hey, I'm loving this." You know, and I'm one of the guys in there munching that popcorn down while the action's happening. But at the end of the movie, you know, sure, I'll say, "Wow, they did it wrong," but I had fun. And I think that's the way it's going to be for Batman v Superman. There are going to be moments through that movie that I'm going to have fun watching. I mean, well, just perfect example. Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. Just saw that this past week. We were talking about it a little bit before the podcast. And, you know, I think that's got a niche audience for me. I mean, sure, zombies are kind of popular now, but it's kind of waning. But it's a neat mashup. But I had a blast watching that. You know, it was fun, funny. I had, you know, I laughed. I rooted for the hero.
Yeah, that movie is about 5 years too late.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. But
it's about 5 years too late. Yep. If it had come out when that book was still a thing in popular culture, you would have made good bank on that. But man, that's way too old.
Yeah, I think that's right.
People have moved on and totally forgotten about that book.
Yeah, and that,
yeah, I think 60 people who watched it in a theater probably enjoyed it for the first week.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it didn't exactly set the lowest gross ever. But it was in competition.
Wow, really?
I believe it.
Well, I can tell you, I mean, I was one of the 60 people, and I had a blast watching it. And I told people about it, and they're like, what's that about? I'm like, ah. So, anyway, well, then that's the thing. With Superman, Batman, those are the two biggies. I mean, forever. Yeah. You know, those guys, it's going to sell like gangbusters.
And to be fair, I mean, the whole Justice League is going to be in this thing.
Yeah.
It's probably the worst kept secret in history, really.
Yeah. Well, intentional, I think. So, yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Eric, on the box office, and I 100% agree with you, but I got hopes. I hope they do something right. So, all right, well, let's move on to the next big one. This one's going to be a favorite of Tim Coker for sure. Captain America Civil War. That's coming out May 6th, and that's going to be another huge Marvel. People loving the Marvels. They don't seem to be do anything wrong. I mean, they had a couple hiccups here and there, but now Captain America: Civil War. This one's going to pit hero against hero. It's going to put. Let's see. We got. Trying to think. Well, they're bringing in Black Panther. They're supposed to have Spider-Man. They kept hinting at this, and they've already talked about the guy they're casting for it, but they've never shown anything in any of the trailers, so it's going to be curious. Right. But anyway, they're bringing all the Marvel Universe kind of together for the first time in this one. Well, not the Guardians yet, but that's coming in Infinity Wars. But anyway.
They're still in space.
So, I don't know. Will it do better than Batman v Superman? I have a feeling it will. And I have a feeling it's going to be more fun than Batman v Superman. Tim Matson, what's your take on Captain America: Civil War?
Cautiously optimistic. I think you run the risk of, well, anytime two superheroes fight one another, it's automatically a dumb story because the reasons that they fight are always really contrived and dumb, honestly.
You're not using fan logic.
The reasons they fight are CGI.
Yeah. Well, the reason they fight is because when we were eight, sat around campfires and said, I'll bet Thor could kick the Hulk's ass. And the other one said, no, there's no way. And so, yeah, exactly. So that's the reason superheroes fight. Now, will they fight for a decent reason in this? Maybe. I don't know. I always worry whenever you see a cast list full of major superheroes this long. I mean, you're not going to be able to give screen time to most of these people. So really, do you need all of them? I mean, I think they have too many people in this. So, you know, I worry that it's going to be if you see Spider-Man, it's going to be incredibly brief. I guarantee you he will not be in this film for maybe a minute or two.
Well, you know, it's funny. I can wait my turn. Do you have anything else, Tim Madsen?
No, man. I mean, that's really my basic okay. possible beef with this. I think the Captain America films have been my favorite of the Marvel films, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I've really enjoyed them a great amount. And I think that it's really coming to a head. It's really Marvel has done, you know, we've said it before. I'll say it again. Marvel's built their house with bricks. I mean, they have built it bit by bit, starting with Iron Man and everything built on top of everything else. And it's rock solid. So yeah. I think it'll be a perfectly fine film. I expect to enjoy it a lot. And I think it'll make plenty of money. So I think it's an unqualified success, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it is. And again, I have a certain amount of faith in the writers and directors of the movie because they did such a great job on Winter Soldier. And I don't know if you guys heard a few weeks ago, there was a screening where it might be an internal thing, I'm not sure, or it's a Disney thing, I can't remember, but they've been doing this screening and kind of testing the Marvel movies at this screening for every one of them a few months before it comes out, kind of like, I think, a last little, you know, how they're always obsessing over their movies right up to release date.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this movie got got higher overall rankings from the audience than Winter Soldier. So to me, that's pretty encouraging.
Yeah.
But you know, all I can say is you can have all of these characters if most of them show up for a 20-minute fight scene or a couple of 15-minute fight scenes. You know what I mean? Like I have hope that the majority of the movie is going to be centered on Cap, Bucky, and Sam. And Tony Stark,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that the other characters are going to come in maybe for certain little capers or whatever. And as for Spider-Man, I wouldn't be surprised if we get 15 to 20 minutes of him in the movie.
No, I'm not even expecting that much.
Really? I don't know.
Well, see here. Okay. Let me interrupt real quick here. Basically, okay. You know, Tim Coker, I know you know the storyline of Civil War mm-hmm. comics, right? Tim Madsen, yeah. Do you? Have you read the
only in passing? I didn't read that.
Okay. Well, one of the things, you know, it's basically a superhero registration thing, and okay, this I have no idea if how they're going to follow it in the movie, but the book, you know, they have to register anyone with superpowers so the government can track them and all this other good stuff. They put a chip in them, all this other funky stuff, you know. It's you know really comes to a civil rights aspect of it, thus Civil War.
Yeah.
But
very
anyway,
timely.
Yeah, and so. Basically, you know, like, yeah, Iron Man, he's all for revealing themselves, you know, registering and all this. Captain America, even though he's revealed himself, people know he's Steve Rogers, he says no because there's freedoms that we must not give up. And so, you know, that's the start of the Civil War. So, the part of in the comics, this is the only part I expect to see Spider-Man in, is whenever Iron Man, in the comics, Iron Man had Peter Parker reveal himself to the public at a press meeting. And I have a feeling that's all we're going to see of Spider-Man.
Hmm.
I don't even think we're going to see him fight.
I don't believe that at all. They're going to have to at least have him involved in one of the big dust-ups. I don't see how they can not do that. That would be...
I hope so.
See, that would be a ripoff of huge proportions if Marvel did that. They've never treated their audience with that kind of contempt before. I don't know that they would do that this time, but
yeah,
there could be a mistake.
Their hands may be tied on this because they don't have the rights to that character.
Well, we know that he appears in two different costumes in the movie. That he appears in his kind of homemade gear at the, you know, in his first appearance, and then later he is in something a little more souped up that I presume he gets from Tony.
Yeah, the Iron Spider costume, I think, is what talking about. So,
well, whatever they do with it. But the point is that mm-hmm. it's, to me, that sounds like they're actually going to have him at least be involved in some kind of subplot. But
yeah,
I don't know.
I just think it's really going to be quite brief because I would imagine that they – is it Sony? Who owns him?
Sony owns Spider-Man.
Because I'd be willing to bet that Sony does not want them to steal all of their thunder with this.
Yeah.
So I'd be willing to bet.
Well, Isaac, your view on Captain America Civil War. What are you looking forward to? What do you want?
Okay, well, meanwhile, while you guys were talking
he wants Wonder Woman to appear in it.
Nah, dude, it's all about Miss Marvel. Anyway, yeah. You guys were talking about all the storyline and all when Spider-Man's gonna be involved. I'm a teenager. For my age and below, we don't really care much about the story. It's just like, oh yeah, dude, superheroes fighting. That's gonna be radical.
So he's one of those guys around that campfire like we were.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay.
What is this campfire you speak of? Anyway.
It's called Tinder.
I don't know. I'm really excited for it. But I think it'll be kind of like, I don't remember what movie it was, but it was a Marvel movie. And it wasn't mostly story. It was, most of the chunk was fighting.
Talking about the horrible Fantastic Four?
No.
Oh, good.
That was like a majority, quote-unquote, story.
There was Iron Man 3, which is... So.
But anyway, I could be thinking of a non-Marvel movie anyway. I think it'll just be mostly fighting, there will definitely be a story, but...
Yeah, cool. All right, Eric, bring us to Earth.
Yes.
What are you looking at, Captain America Civil War? What are you looking at for the fun and your view on it, too?
It's the release date. The release date is the first week in May.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you go back six or 7 years ago, that would be sort of a very quiet time. Because you'd start around Memorial Day. But in the last 6 years, the movie industry keeps trying to extend the summer season. So the studio has put this movie in a prime spot to kick off the summer. So they have a pretty big expectation for this. Now you contrast that with Batman and Superman, that's a release date of March 25th. That's sort of a shoulder season. Mm. I mean, you just don't know how it's going to be. So one of the things you look for is how much confidence does the studio have in this movie based upon where they put it on the calendar. And early May is a prime spot that says they think this is going to be big.
I never even thought of that aspect.
Well, right.
That's sort of off the side of the earth there.
Didn't they take that weekend away from Batman Superman? Wasn't that going to be Batman Superman's weekend? And then Marvel's like, no, we're doing Captain America. And then DC blinked. Didn't that happen? Or Warner's blinked, I mean?
I think you're right. I think I remember reading his news story saying they backed theirs up because of that.
And I don't know. I know where it's at now.
And the thing about Captain America, I think all the Captain America movies have been good. And I think this one, with bringing in other heroes, this is going to be gooder. And I think you're right, it's gonna be a big one. And plus the positioning, we never even thought of that. See, I don't look at that from that point.
They did. I just finished looking it up. They did move because of Captain America.
Okay. See, they're scared.
Yeah, I think they should be. I don't think there's any way if they'd gone up against that they would have come out with any amount of success.
Know.
It would have split the audience. I mean, somebody had to blink.
Batman is like the definition of an evergreen Brits. If the movie was like 3 hours of Batman taking out the garbage, I feel like it would do great business.
Wait, that was the last Batman movie, so... All right, well, let's move on to the next one. Another one that's not Marvel, but it's a Marvel characters, the X-Men Apocalypse movie. This is another one. X-Men movies here, they're always bringing in there's a plethora of X-Men to deal with. So they've got an unlimited amount of characters. Now, however, we all know Marvel has said, hey, we're killing off the X-Men. Since you won't give us our, characters back for our movies, we're going to kill them off in the comics. I mean, they killed Wolverine, the biggest fan base ever. And anyway, X-Men Apocalypse. This one I'm looking forward to, not because I think it's going to be good, but because I like the Apocalypse story. The four horsemen that are recruited, and they change the X-Men, make them bad guys, and all that fun stuff. Although, I've read different Apocalypse stories where it's different characters that are turned, but, they can have their poetic license, or whatever license they want. But anyway, I think they've got a decent group of superheroes together. They've got some decent actors to do it. Let's just hope the story goes along with it. I expect it to be pretty big. I don't expect it to be nearly as big as Captain America or Batman v Superman. But I do expect it to be pretty big. I mean, okay, now you got me looking at dates, Eric. It's at the end of May when that one's released, May 27th. That one looks like it's a better summer position for it, so it could be pretty good size. So, all right, actually, let's start out with Isaac this time, X-Men Apocalypse.
All I want is Deadpool to have a cameo in the movie.
Not gonna happen, but
that's dumb. Anyway, other than that, I don't know. They've got a Power Rangers villain as the villain, Apocalypse.
Yep. Oh yeah.
You mean X-Men versus Ivan Ooze, maybe?
It looks pretty good. Pretty good in X-Men terms, I guess. I should say.
There you go.
Right.
You have to quantify that with X-Men, So.
But I don't know. I think I'll like it.
Tim Coker.
I'm skeptical. It'll probably do decent business, I think. For making me happy, I don't know. Like, the Apocalypse storyline, like, the time that they're getting into in the movies is getting away from the period where I was reading the comics, so I don't have the same investment that I do when I see, like, Jean Grey or somebody on the screen, you know?
Okay.
So for me, I don't have the personal investment, and I've been getting a little more frustrated with those movies, just, like, as a fan. I'm kind of, like, Marvel has been doing such a good job of creating something really that feels so correct in terms of how the characters are interpreted that I feel like, you know, it's kind of a Schmarvel thing, you know, where everything feels kind of off-brand, and the stories, like you were talking about how, oh yeah, you know, there's a million characters they have to deal with and put into the movie, but you know it's going to be about, you know, Professor X, Magneto, and Wolverine again.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. and Mystique, you know, and I don't know. I'm kind of sick of those guys, you know? So I kind of want to stop making those movies and let somebody else make them and just get a fresh start, because I don't know. I didn't like Days of Future Past. I liked about half of the Wolverine, the second one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I haven't really been delighted with one of those movies since X2. Everything since then has been compromised by one thing or another. So it's hard not to look at them as kind of the redheaded stepchild with Marvel Studios in town, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I can tell you one thing. At least Deadpool's bringing in Colossus.
Yeah.
They could never bring him into the X-Men for some reason. I don't know. They made him as a brief appearance, but Deadpool's bringing him in. But yeah. There's too many characters, and you're right. The same ones we're sick of, I think. All right, Tim Matson.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it my imagination, or do these movies look cheaper every single one that comes out? I mean, I thought First Class looked really good, and I really think that was quite a good movie, mostly because Jennifer Lawrence was dressed in 60s go-go outfits, which was fantastic.
Great idea.
Absolutely. I think I would have been more than happy to have them just stay in the 60s, because I think that was great. But honestly, I don't, their last X-Men movie did not care for. We've talked about that at length on a previous episode, so you can look that one up if you really want to know our opinions on it. But this one, I don't know, man. I kind of agree. It's going to be, I believe this is the last time you'll see Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. Is that
that's what I've correct? Heard.
Well, no, you there's know, also it, the Wolverine 3 that they're making or whatever.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, are they making that? Oh, yeah. Okay, well, whatever. He'll never stop being Wolverine, which is fine, I guess. But really, yeah, it'll be just Magneto and Professor X again. Although this time, apparently, Professor X is bald. So there's that, I suppose.
Finally.
I honestly don't... I'm not excited about this. I will go see it, probably, just because, but I'm not really, it's not high up on my list of things I think are going to be awesome.
All right, Eric Gubelman, of course we're going to ask you your box office guesses and ideas behind that, but let me ask you this. Is it going to be at that point, May 27th, when people are going to start and get tired of comic book movies, or is this one going to still be just as good?
That's a prime date. I mean, we're talking Memorial Day weekend. Mm-hmm. So the problem you run into is that we'll run into is X-Men's never done well for us. The only thing that's eaten the top one films for us was Wolverine.
Uh-huh.
And I think the problem with X-Men is it's an ensemble. You know, you can root for Spider-Man, you can root for Iron Man, you can root for Captain America. What do you do with X-Men? There's a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And when they sang one out, Wolverine, it did okay box. Nothing great. So this is this wouldn't be my choice of Memorial Day fair, but the very fact that it's Memorial Day fair will help it out a lot. I mean, you can show anything on Christmas Day and you'll get audience, and Memorial Day is not too far behind that.
Well, the only other one that I saw competing with it for that weekend that, for me, interesting-wise, and only vaguely, it was Alice Through the Looking Glass is opening that same weekend.
There's a movie that no one was asking for.
I know. What? I'm curious, but I'm like, why did anybody want to do this? So, All right, well, I'm going to jump over a few of them here. I want to jump right into August 5th, Suicide Squad release. Okay, I will tell you right now, they're trying to lure us in with classic rock music. They're trying to...
Don't fall for it, it's a trap!
And they're trying to lure us in with lots of comedic moments in the trailers. And it's a DC movie, though. So, but I will tell you, I know what's going to happen is that they're all going to get together to track down the Joker and capture the Joker. Big deal. But Harley Quinn, I think, is going to carry this movie, or at least be the person that's going to be the one that everybody talks about afterwards. Only because if they let her go with it, the character herself, she's crazy. And I'm hoping they let her be as crazy as she should be. And I think she'll carry it. Will Smith, I think they just wanted a big name, because I really don't think he's going to be pulling off that Deadshot. Deadshot.
There's someone that looks immensely bored with what he's doing.
You notice that, too, in the trailers?
Oh my god!
I saw. Oh, wait a minute.
I haven't seen him look this bored. I haven't seen him look this bored since After Earth.
Wow!
And in that, he looked comatose.
So I don't know. I mean, again, it's one of those they're putting together, but in this time they're putting villains together. So it's going to be villains. And I saw one trailer. I don't know. Maybe I was just seeing things, but I swear I saw a Batman cape swoop by in one of the scenes.
There's a Batman cameo in it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Is it going to be the Ben Affleck Batman or just a...
No, it's him.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's him.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, but I have a feeling walking away from that movie, Harley Quinn will be the one people are talking about, which is good because I like her. I mean, if you go to Comic Cons and all these, you know, all these cons, Harley Quinn and Deadpool are the two biggest cosplay people.
It's all about the red and black.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think you meant to say played out cosplay.
All right. Oh, by the way, Isaac will be cosplaying as Deadpool when we go to the movie.
Yeah, no, I won't. I don't have enough time to make that costume. You crazy?
Well, you got the mask.
I've got a mask. I don't have a suit.
All right. So, all right. Well, then, Tim Coker, Suicide Squad.
Well, you know, again, I'm not like, I wouldn't say I have high hopes, right? But I don't want it to be bad. How about that? I haven't seen any of the guy's other movies. You know, I don't know anything about the people who are making it. You know, we'll see if it's any good. If it actually is kind of exciting and funny, I'll be into it. I'd like to see that. Like, I always want it to be good, but probably because I'm an obsessive weirdo, like certain details will just jump out at me and kind of ruin everything. And, you know, I don't actually hate the idea of Jared Leto's Joker having all these tattoos and, you know, diamond teeth or whatever, right? Like, well, okay, I'm saying it's a different interpretation. I have to see it to make my mind up, right?
Right.
But then you see that, like, the tattoo that's on his forehead says damaged.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if there's one adjective that the Joker does not believe applies to him, it's damaged or like negative. Well, I don't know, unless he's saying it's good. I don't. I just like I read that and I think, oh, these people aren't smart, you know, but maybe I'm overthinking it. Probably I'm overthinking it anyway.
All right, Isaac, Suicide Squad.
I don't know. I think you're going to be wrong about the I know it's a DC movie, but I feel like they're actually doing this one like it should be, being a comic book movie. I don't think the Bohemian Rhapsody is just a ploy. I don't think they'd spend that much money to get those rights just for a bad movie.
Well, Guardians of the Galaxy spent lots of money to get Hooked on a Feeling, and you didn't hear it during the movie.
No, but that's because it was a good movie.
I'd be willing to bet that Hooked on a Feeling was a lot cheaper than the Coons.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Good point.
Super bargain-based.
So, Isaac, you're thinking we're...
I'm thinking this is going to be a DC movie that I actually enjoy.
Okay. Tim Matson. Excellent.
Okay, well, I'm going to drop some knowledge on you. You should be rooting for the director because he's a hometown boy. He was born in Champaign.
Nice.
Anyway, but beyond that, you know,
I thought you were going to give us some good, like,
Yeah,
I think that was a dud knowledge bomb that you dropped there.
Yeah, it was kind of a dud, but you know, I'm trying to, I tried to say something positive first, and that was the best I could come up with.
You want me to say something positive, Charlie Sheen?
Oh, all right. He also wrote Training Day, so there's that.
Oh,
so you know, I don't think he's a dummy. But man, do I think this movie's going to be awful. I mean, I really, I'm just the opposite. I think that they had, they saw the entire fan reaction based on everything that they were marketing, and they did an about face with this last trailer. I think that was put together out of absolute desperation, because I think that they felt that they had a train that was running out of control and was going to derail when it comes to marketing, because nobody online is saying anything positive about this film. Especially the Joker. I mean, the Joker, who looks like a juggalo mated with a Hot Topic store. Really awful. I can't go into enough how much I detest.
If he has an Axeman tattoo in this movie, I'm going to call you.
Oh man, I'm just I'm with Tim on this. I know it's a tiny, tiny detail, and you probably won't even see it that much in the film. But the damaged tattoo, it's a non-starter for me. And I feel like it's just like everything else. It was grim and black and gray colored. Until this last trailer where they're like, oh, shit, there are other colors. Maybe we should use them. And really, to be honest, the colors in the trailer only come from the text in between the scenes. There's really no colors to be seen in the actual footage, really. It's pretty dull and muted still. And so I think it's going to fit perfectly in line with Man of Steel and Batman v Superman. It's going to be a real downer of a film. I think you've seen the fun bits already.
All right.
I do. Yeah. I think you've seen the moments of levity, the purse stealing thing. I'll bet that's one of the funniest things in the entire film.
All right. Well, all right. Ari Gubelman, this one's going to be a tricky one for you to try to figure out, because this is an experiment, really, when it comes from DC movies, of taking these villains that, okay, we've got these other superheroes. Now we've got villains. I mean, even Marvel hasn't really done a villain movie. I mean, Deadpool's an anti-hero, but he's not a villain. It's going to be interesting to see how that works out. Eric, what do you think is going to happen with Suicide Squad on August 5th?
A couple of things are interesting here. One is August 5th, and which obviously where movies are going to die, a lot of them. But in the last 2 years, we've seen the summer season getting extended to mid-August instead of dying on the end of July. So I think there's been some strategic choice to put them. I think this has got a chance to be a real sleeper hit.
Okay.
Because they're in a position to get sort of the last hurrah of summer. I've seen some predictions online that are upwards of $100 million on opening weekend. And I think it will do more than Deadpool does. And I would not be surprised to see a $100 million box office for the opening weekend. I think whether it has any legs will depend upon word of mouth. It's got a soft spot in the schedule, and I think it's going to dominate that weekend. I'll see what else is on there, maybe plop in the next time you ask me something. But I think it's positioned to be a late summer sleeper.
Okay, now, put your geek hack on real quick. You think this one's going to get a huge boost because of the Batman v Superman movie release earlier?
No.
Okay, it's just going to be kind of on its own? That's what I'm thinking, too.
I don't think there's the true geeks who know as much about the DC and Marvel universe are pretty thin crowd. So I don't think there's enough of you that sort of grab onto that to drive the box office. No, I'm making it up, so I don't know. What you're getting is exactly what you paid for.
Hey, I expect no less. All right, well, let's move on to one more final one for the podcast, and Doctor Strange. It's another Marvel. This one's got a lot of, I would say not a lot of hype, but a lot of fan base eager, ready to chomp onto this one. In fact, one of our own, Tim Coker, is going to be talking about that here real quick, I'm sure. But it's got the potential. First of all, they got Benedict Cumberbatch. I mean, that's a good name to have, okay, in this movie.
Yep.
The other aspect, it's one of those lesser popular stories from the Marvel Universe. I mean, it's got its fan base, but it's not as popular as the Avengers or the X-Men. In comic-wise, it's going to be released November 4th. Now, I'm going to give my 2 cents on this one. I'm ready for it because I have loved Doctor Strange all my life. Doctor Strange, I've just, especially, basically, Spider-Man is my guy right there. All through my childhood, it was Spider-Man. But when Spider-Man and Doctor Strange teamed up, that was always like the coolest because it always got real mystical. And of course, and I've always thought he was cool. And that in fact, I think he's one of the reasons I grew a goatee. So I don't know, but might have that influence. But anyway, yeah, Doctor Strange. I think it's going to be a great story. I'm curious about the November 4th release, but the story, if they tell it right, I think this is the right time to do it with the CGI as good as it is. There's lots of great CGI needed for Doctor Strange, so we'll see if they do it good. Do a good job with the CGI aspect of it. So, okay, that's my little two cents. So, Tim Coker, I'm going to let you jump on this one because I know this is one you're wanting to see.
Oh, very much. I mean, I think, like, one of the things that has made me so happy as a comic book fan with how Marvel Studios has done it is I feel like they've, while always doing something that's kind of recognizably theirs, they do a really good job of varying what they do. So, you know, to keep things kind of fresh or keep things different. So you get a World War II movie with Captain America, you know, with Winter Soldier, you get kind of an espionage thriller, you know, with Thor the Dark World, it's like a sci-fi fantasy kind of thing. So I like that they go in the different genres. Ant-Man's a caper movie. And this, you know, if it's good, you know, if the script is up to their usual standard and it has all of the charm and excitement that you expect from their brand, then I think it could be a very popular movie. And, you know, for the same reason that the other ones are, because I think people love the brand anyway, right? So I think people want to give it the benefit of the doubt. But if this movie lives up to it and surprises people, and it could, because it's full on psychedelic, crazy, supernatural stuff is something that's totally new to them. But I'm ready to see it. I think that the cast sounds great, and you know, I don't know. Fingers crossed.
One of the things about Doctor Strange, it's one of those not as lesser known as, say, Guardians of the Galaxy, but Guardians of the Galaxy, that was just like one of those that I was totally surprised. I was anxious for the movie, and then when it did so well, I'm like, people don't even know about this one. How are they pulling?
But it was a good movie.
Yeah, and that's exactly right.
That's what counts right there. It was a really fun movie.
Yeah, and do you think Doctor Strange could be that way?
I hope so. I mean, it all depends on what they can bring to it. And you know, if Doctor Strange is a charming person that you want to spend a lot of time with and find out more about, which is what they've been able to do with all their other lead characters, then absolutely. I think that's what I mean. I think people, at least this is what it looks like to me from, you know, in my little geek bubble, but it seems like people really do like to go to these movies and they certainly make a lot of money. And I don't know, I feel like that brand is really resonating, you know, that people kind of want to give it the benefit of the doubt. So
okay,
I can think it could do well.
You got the same sentiment I do on that aspect.
Yeah.
Okay. Tim Mattson, let's hear yours.
You know, I really think that when you mentioned Guardians of the Galaxy, you really hit on something, because I think in the populace at large, I think Doctor Strange is about as well known as Guardians of the Galaxy to a lot of people out there, for good or ill. I'm like you guys. I like Doctor Strange as a character. I'm excited to see it. I can't wait to see what kind of crazy ass character Tilda Swinton is going to play.
Oh yeah, that's right. Oh.
She plays the ancient one, and yeah. I fucking can't wait, because that woman is bonkers. I love her work, because she just absolutely throws herself into the deep end of every character she ever plays, and so that's going to be awesome. But I mean, you also got Mads Mikkelsen, which is coming off of a fan favorite Hannibal. You know, and Bandersnatch Cucumber Patch in the lead, which seemingly can do no wrong. So I think that you're going to get audiences in to see this, but the part where I'm worried is they've got four screenwriters listed on this thing. And anytime you have more than two people on a screenwriter list, it's about too many screenwriters. So
yeah,
I kind of worry that it's gone through too many drafts and it may be a little unfocused. So we'll see. I think that this could possibly... I mean, I said this about Ant-Man, too. This could be possibly Marvel's first bomb if it's not good, because I think word of mouth will definitely affect this film, because I don't know that a lot of people really are familiar with Doctor Strange. I don't know if it's on people's radars.
Good point. Yeah. But I don't think Guardians was either, so this could be the Guardians for this year.
That's what I mean. I mean, Guardians got this massive lift from a trailer that people started talking about. After it hit, everybody talked about the trailer.
Yeah.
And how freaking awesome it is. And it was perfectly indicative of the product that you got when you went to the movie theater.
Yeah.
That what you saw in that trailer, the feeling you got from that is exactly what they delivered in a long form. Now, that's why I think The Suicide Squad is going to be a terrible film, because I think the tone that they give you in that trailer, that is undeniably a really great trailer and a great use of a song, it's not going to be what you get when you go to the theater. Mm-hmm. Now, that's where Doctor Strange has really got to really hit that tone.
Yeah.
It's got to deliver a marketing plan that's going to get people in the theaters, and then it's going to have to pay off on that marketing. Ant-Man had a fun, heisty kind of trailer and marketing plan with that, and it paid off. It turned out to be a decent film. I was quite worried about that one. I thought that could possibly be a bad movie, and mm-hmm. it was okay. It wasn't their greatest film, but it was fine.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Well, you know, I'm thinking that Doctor Strange, they need to use some Pink Floyd music for their trailer. That might be good.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, Isaac had to leave the room, so he misses out on this. But Eric, how's Doctor Strange fall under your radar?
I think the question here is Benedict Cumberbatch going to provide some rock juice? Because I remember I didn't have real high expectations for the first Iron Man, but Morton Downey Jr. just he just made the movie.
Right.
And I think Cumberbatch has got the same capability. And we'll see whether his sort of affable charm carries it. I think they're good that it will. I want to come back to Suicide Squad for just a second.
Okay.
Because this is something that we also don't think about much. And that is people, one of the reasons people go to the movies is because they get in the habit of going to movies. And so if you're in a period where there's some really good movies, a movie that isn't quite so good can get long in the wave. And one of the things Suicide Squad has got going for it is July 22nd, a new Ice Age.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Star Trek is going to be. The week after is Jason Bourne.
Mm-hmm.
And then Suicide Squad. So late July could be a pretty decent period. And Suicide Squad could benefit from being carried along with that.
Good point. Oh, yeah. Because definitely that whole month of August, yeah. July into August, they're going to be in the habit of going to the movies every weekend, because you're right, there's some big openers all those weekends.
Never thought about it, but you're right.
The 22nd is going to be big,
yeah,
with Star Trek and Ice Age, because we're going to get every single demographic. And if he plays out, we hit the fanboys as well. And Ghostbusters on the 15th is going to be kind of a chick flick,
yeah,
in its own way.
Yeah, so. Yeah, that's right. This is the female cast, but I don't know. You're gonna get the chick flick aspect of it, but I think you're still gonna get those nerdy guys that are saying, from the original Ghostbusters. You know,
those nerdy guys are getting old.
Yeah, true. Hey, that's no, true. We're not. All right. Well, how's that bring to Doctor Strange? November 4th. Let me look into just from my short list here. September doesn't look like a great month for movies.
August and September, movies go to die.
Mm-hmm.
In September and October, when the studios start trying out their Academy Award nominees.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the third quarter is a very serious quarter. We can shoot a cannon down the hallway and not hit anybody. So actually, the first week in November starts to get better. And the week before Thanksgiving is when the season really picks up. So the November date. I think here's another example of a studio trying to extend that season a little bit, trying to kick off the something that will ignite an early holiday. And the studio's getting smarter. The studio's getting smarter about how they schedule movies. There's a lot more viewing the calendar as a 12-month calendar instead of these are the seasons to avoid. And you see it nibbling around the edges. You see early May in play. You see early November in play. You see early August still in play. Where before that was just August is horrid.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a little strategy involved in picking that date. But I think it's going to boil down to Cumberbatch. Because he's going to create some interest for people who don't really care about Doctor Strange.
True.
Because he's got a fan base.
All right, so it's an interesting year for comic book lovers and movie lovers. And I'll tell you what, I guarantee you, Eric, I'm going to be at the Eagle Theater for nearly every one of these movies, maybe 12 times for Civil War. But maybe not that much. But anyway, so yeah, it's going to be an interesting year for movies, that's for sure. And once again, I want to thank... Oh, go ahead.
I do think it's telling that all of us forgot all about Star Trek Beyond and have not mentioned it in this list of films that we're looking forward to.
Well, I skipped over it.
I think that says pretty much all you need to say about that film.
Yeah, I kind of skipped over it because I was ready of like, no. Well, that's going to close out the podcast today because, hey, we've gone over our time a little bit. But Eric Gubelman and your wife, Susan, you guys run the Eagle Theater. I want to thank you very much for first providing a great theater here in this little small town of Robinson. And you guys also have one up near Decatur, Illinois, in Clinton, Illinois, called the Clintonia Eagle. It's a great movie experience. Anybody comes through this area, they need to stop there. It's a big city feel, but in a small town feel too. I mean, it's, you got the quality of a big city, but the atmosphere of a hometown. And it's really, because you know everybody. I mean, I go in there and I see friends. I go in there, I see friends that are working. I see friends that are going to movies, and it's just a nice feeling. So thank you, Eric, for having a great theater in this area. And thank you for joining us on the podcast today, providing us down to earth aspects of movie.
Oh, thanks. And your check is in the mail.
Oh, I wish.
And Gil's totally right. I mean, I'm from all the way out here in North Carolina, and we have some really nice theaters around out here. And I got to say, when I went to see the Guardians of the Galaxy at your theater, it was a great little place. So if you're around that area, this is an unbiased opinion. You should go check it out. It's a good place to go see some films.
So, all right. Well, thanks again for joining us. So in the meantime, don't forget, you can support the podcast numerous ways. The best way is to buy a T-shirt. We got all sorts of great T-shirts with a great logo designed by the most popular artist around, Tim Coker.
Aw.
Certainly the prettiest one.
And
you guys.
We got some great T-shirts, coffee mugs, messenger bags, a whole bunch of product. Just go to nerduppodcast.blogspot.com, buy the merchandise. You'll get yourself a good-looking T-shirt, and we'll have a dollar or so to go to our storage fees for these podcasts. So in the meantime, I'm Gil T. Wilson. You can reach me at Gil Wilson on Twitter.
Oh, I am at Tim K. Has to Say on Twitter.
I'm at Tim Gone Mad. No E.
All right. And Eric, what's the best way to reach the Eagle Theater?
You can reach me at eric@eagletheater.net.
And check out their website, eagletheater.net. You can check out both theaters, and you can find out what's showing and plan your trips accordingly. So that's it for the podcast this week. As we say every single week,
stay nerdy.
Nerdy.
Man, I had a rough night's sleep. Ugh, boy, whew. I got a letter from the IRS yesterday, and I just couldn't sleep. Man, I'm dying here. Somebody help me.
IRS problems affect more than just your finances. If you're ready to take back control of your life and you owe more than $10,000, you need to call the Tax Doctor. Their expert staff can immediately protect you from the IRS and state collectors and get you the best possible tax settlement guaranteed. The IRS has recently released new programs geared in helping struggling taxpayers, where you may qualify to settle your tax debt and wipe out up to 85% or more of what you currently owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call the Tax Doctor right now. See if you qualify to pay less. 800-917-8611. 800-917-8611. 800-917-8611. Again, 800-917-8611.